The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to kick things off, though, with what is happening at Holyhead. There had been hopes, there had been expectations, even maybe in some quarters, that it was going to reopen for business, the port in Wales, on the 19th, so in 2 days' time. But now we're being told the 15th of January at the earliest. Eugene Drennan is a spokesperson for the Irish Road Haulage Association. Eugene, I understand you never fully bought into the idea it was open on the 19th. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. The line of information coming out and the drift of any news was so poor that there was definitely some reason that we couldn't know definite dates. And there it's confirmed the 15th of January. And I don't think it'll be up for the 15th of January either. But I do believe that there is hope that we could get a ship onto the ramp, at least one of the ramps now with tugs, and just take freight out of it to relieve this few days. If it was okay last Friday, how did it deteriorate so much in the intermediate days?
When you mentioned that there's ways to get at the ramp, then explain to us what has happened at Holyhead as you understand it, Eugene.
Yes, well, the ramps are a big jut that drop down onto the ship, big steel plate, really. And there's different reinforcements and different security and safety measures on them. They go into the ship, and then you can roll on and roll off. Out from the edge of the ramps on either side of the pier line are two long fingers of concrete, or line of pier, like a pier wall. And one section of those gave way in the storm last week because the wave just came in, the ship was coming off, and she just waved in against the wall. Not very hard, they're built for this, but for whatever reason, a central section of that collapsed. The concrete fell into the sea underneath one ramp, I would say, more than the other. And I think the ramps are still working. The other wall is still solid. It's just one central section. And I think with bravery, now, you will find there will be a lot of health and safety people and a lot of uncertainty because nobody wants to sign off on it. You know, it's easier to say no than yes. So brave people have to find alternative means of getting the ships on and off for these 3 or 4 days at least. Then the big angst is over.
I mean, we're going to talk to Owen Corrie in a moment about the impact this is going to have on passengers and kind of civilians, as it were, who hope to use that ferry. What impact is it having on hauliers?
It's absolutely massive. The cost has gone through the roof. Hauliers will not be able to withstand it. And I've been on your program or this program during the week, and we never mentioned costs before, but it's gone to very, very high numbers now. The changing of personnel, rotating personnel, having freight on one side of the IRC and not on the other, detouring from port to port. A lot of cost has gone into that. So, you know, we don't want to jump in the back of Christmas, but the what has happened and the cost is plain to see. On the other hand as well, everybody has a night shift on now, just answering phones and watching the progress and trying to, you know, change trucks or get a different booking, trying to cope with all the confusion and also the upset that the declarations of Windsor has caused, not of Windsor, but of Brexit and through the Windsor Agreement. And if the UK side can't handle the change of destination, the newer routes, it's not set up for it. And we have a lot of issues that if the English side doesn't give the clearance that everything is declared, you're on the ship you should be on, you're on the boat, then it stops your boarding. The barrier won't lift, you can't get in the port.
One listener is after getting in touch already to say this is leaving up to 150,000 travellers stranded. Meanwhile, the airlines not permitted to assist in resolving the looming chaos because of the anachronistic Dublin airport cap. Owen Corrie is with us as well, the travel journalist. Owen, how are travellers going to be impacted?
It's very hard to tell at this stage because we've had this very slow, watching everything happen so slowly. Eugene and myself have been on various programs. We've both been saying the same thing. This is not going to be ready, really, because nobody's going to sign off on it. We have an undamaged side of that berth, and the inspections are still going on, underwater inspections. What has happened is quite interesting, Kieran, that the passengers who had bookings really didn't move move to rebook them in large numbers. Some of them did. But even the ferry companies, if you went into your booking until yesterday, it just said things are going as normal. You're sailing next Monday or Tuesday, whatever the booking was. It's only tonight that the ferry companies can officially contact everyone and said, these are your options. The options they're giving them is an alternative route or a refund. Mm. But the other ports are not, no port is designed to load and unload as quickly as Holyhead is. It's the second busiest port in Britain. It's a step way, way ahead of Pembroke, Fishguard, even Birkenhead. And getting in and out of the port for large numbers of cars, we've 33,000 cars booked on those sailings. Even getting in and out of the port, it's not quite clear how that's going to work out. There hasn't been a spillover onto people seeking air travel. But as you say, we have 100,000 fewer seats in and out of Dublin this Christmas because of the Dublin Airport passenger cap, and already prices are spiking on that.
Oh, that's kind of disgraceful, isn't it, that the ferry companies weren't offering that advice until now? I mean, if you and Eugene and plenty of other people as well were saying, sorry, this is not happening on the 19th of December, lads, not a hope in hell. And they were still officially telling customers, nothing to see here, move along.
They could. That's the way it operates. But they were actually offering the alternative booking from the moment it became into doubt. And they both ferry companies were issuing advice to their customers, saying, "This is the situation, and if you want to change, you change free of charge, or we get you a new date, or we get you a refund." They did move early on that because they saw the looming crisis. But until they had an official statement from the port saying we're not going to open until such and such a date, and that date is now January the 15th, they couldn't tell all their passengers your ship is not sailing.
Gary Pritchard is with us as well. Gary is the leader of the Isle of Anglesey Council. He's a Plaid Cymru councillor. Gary, what's the situation as you understand it on your side of the water?
Well, I think that we share the same frustrations as our friends and colleagues over the sea there. I'm the only positive from today is that the statement has come sooner rather than later, so that those passengers who are trying to get home for Christmas can find alternative ways. I think the worst possible scenario would have been to keep on hoping and promising that it was going to open before Christmas. So I think from that point of view, that's a positive. I've been in meeting today with Welsh government ministers and Irish government ministers, as well as with the port owners. The commitment to reopen the port is there, but as Owen and Eugene have already said, it's the ongoing inspection of the damage in the port which is preventing them from opening straight away. I mean, it's quite worrying for us. We've already seeing local firms laying off freight drivers, and you know the supply chain, it's affecting jobs directly and indirectly on this side of the Irish Sea as well. I was brought up in Holyhead. I remember the boom days of working as a young lad in Woolworths in Holyhead High Street, where we had hundreds of thousands of people coming over to do their Christmas shopping. So I have an affinity with the port and island since I was a young lad, and it's such a huge blow to us. We've always known how strategic a port Holyhead is, not just to Ynysmon and to Ireland, to Wales, UK, and also, you know, it's the land bridge over to Europe. It's vital. It's a strategic port. And perhaps, you know, if I was a cynical person, I'd say that you don't know what you've got until it's gone, and perhaps the UK government are realising now how much of a strategic port this actually is, well, not just for Ynysmon, but for the whole of the UK.
Yeah, well, Gary, I was going to ask you that question. Would you have imagined the government in Westminster might have moved a little quicker if this had been kind of, you know, a Dover or somewhere in the Humber?
It's difficult to say, isn't it? Because the reality of the situation is the port is owned by a private company, so it's not in public ownership. So it's difficult to say what may or may not have happened elsewhere. But I think the importance of Holyhead
I'll put it this way. Whether they could have intervened more actively or not, then given the ownership situation, they were very quiet. I didn't hear too much concern being expressed by the Labour government.
This is something that we, you know, here on Inismore, we, the Plaid Cymru and the council, our member in the Senedd in Cardiff is also Plaid Cymru, and our member of parliament in Westminster is also Plaid Cymru, and we've been asking for assistance from the UK government. I know that a letter has been sent to the Welsh Office Minister, also to the Department of Transport. I'm not sure whether we've had a reply yet. I'm sure if we had a reply, we would know about it by now. It is affecting jobs. It is affecting the economy. It's hugely strategic, not just for the UK, but as I was saying earlier, it's for Irish transport using the UK as a land bridge across to Europe as well. You know, Eugene was mentioning the problems that Brexit have caused. When Brexit was, and, you know, we campaigned against Brexit for several reasons, but, you know, the whole situation of trying to find another route for passengers and freight at the moment is just amplifying the problems that Brexit have brought. And the irony is not lost on us that, that the UK government don't realise what they've got until it's gone.
Owen Corry, you might answer this question. This is just one text, but a few people have made this point. Why are they citing the airport cap as an excuse? Has that not been suspended pending a legal case?
It's a very interesting question, because the summer cap has been suspended pending a legal case. The winter cap is still in place. That affects Christmas. It also affects things like 32 inbound flights for the French rugby match, which still haven't got clearance. We have a cap in place until March, but because of this lack of speed in which the court system works, it only affects the summer cap.
So imagine for a moment then, Owen, people listening to this, they've got family in the UK who had a sailing booked on the 22nd, 23rd, and they were maybe kind of hoping against hope and had fingers crossed that things would be happening. What options have they? Like what availability, what capacity is there elsewhere to get from the UK to Ireland?
Okay, the ferry companies will shift their larger ships around the Ulysses, which is the biggest. It has something like 650 cars on it for one of those sailings. It's sailing the French route at the moment because it's needed for the freight that's diverting in that direction. Irish Ferries are talking about another option, probably going into Liverpool, Birkenhead. The Fishguard routes are an option, and the Dublin Liverpool and the Belfast Birkenhead are an option, but I suspect a lot of the action will transfer to the route that has the most frequent sailings, particularly on the freight side. That's the Belfast Cairnryan. They've six sailings a day. The rest are all of the other sailings are a little bit longer. It's 8 hours, for instance, to Birkenhead, where it's only three to Holyhead.
Eugene, people will remember listening to this when the Ever Given blocked the Suez Canal and we were kind of dealing with the aftermath for months and months afterwards. This is nowhere near that scale. But I mean, when do you imagine the port to be back operating and backlogs to be worked through and things back to normal?
We have it on St. Patrick's Day, because if there's going for a big infrastructure concrete into the sea, that is a slow process, and they haven't even decided yet. I fully agree with you, Kieran. This is a disgrace. And to the Welsh councillor there, the Plaid Cymru were slow in alerting the London government to get something done. They should have been more proactive.
I don't think so.
And the reason, Kieran, I suggest that if we could get one of the big ships in to take the freight out of Holyhead, that will leave more room on the other passenger ships to take the passengers, because the cost of the airline travel has gone so high, to get it is very difficult. And the people who use the ships for coming home are either people who are afraid of flying or with young children, and they have buggies, they have prams, they have what they need for coming home, they have Christmas presents, they're returning stuff. And I'd warn anybody involved, and particularly though the government is just elected, if granny and granddad doesn't see the grandchildren for Christmas, they won't be forgiving for a long time.
Gary, would you like to respond to that Plaid Cymru and your colleagues and yourself were slow in alerting the UK government to the scale of this?
I think it's an unfair accusation. We've raised concerns with the UK government from the moment we knew there was a problem. It's difficult for us to be... It's unfair for us to be blamed for the inaction of the government.
Gary Pritchard is the Plaid Cymru councillor. He is the leader of the Isle of Anglesey Council. Eugene Drennan is a spokesperson for the Irish Road Haulage Association, and Owen Corry, the travel journalist. Thank you all very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.